This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to the debut episode of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams. Some of you may know me from the For Your Consideration podcast series that I did with Will from Texas as part of the Greatest WWE Wrestler Ever project. Joining me for this project is a brand new voice and member of our Place to Be Nation family, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, guys, the idea behind this series is that we each pick a song, and we are going to explore the lyrical content of these songs. We may try to piece together the circumstances around the song, get into backstories, either real or fictional, and likely wander into some tangents as well. Without further ado, let's start with my first pick from the 2003 album Life for Rent. We're talking about White Flag, as performed by Dido. The reason I picked this song is that this was the song that sparked this idea. I was listening to this song in the car and heard her say that something along the lines of she left too much mess and destruction to come back again. And I thought, what in the hell did this woman do to burn that bridge? And I thought there may be some good discussion there. So let's start with the first couple lines here. I know you think that I shouldn't still love you. Or tell you that. Now, Kelly, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear those first two lines?
To me, I think it's someone that you broke their heart and, they shouldn't be, they don't want to hear that from you anymore, maybe. That's how I see it, simple as that, so.
All right, I had a similar line of thinking, but I also had the thought cross my mind, is Dido a homewrecker? Who knows? You know, maybe this was a straight up love story that went awry, or maybe she was the other woman and that she is not supposed to hold on to those feelings. Then she moves on to say, but if I didn't say it, well, I'd still have felt it. Where's the sense in that? I think a lot of us can relate to this part. You love someone, you know it, you want them to know it. But either maybe you feel like you're going to get in their way of their happiness, or maybe it's a love that is not returned. And, you want to get it out there, but it's almost like, what good will that do if I do put that out there? What's your thoughts on that?
No, I kind of had the same thought on that. I don't have anything to add to that at all. You said exactly what I was thinking there.
All right, fantastic.
So, let me start first on the next one. No, just kidding.
All right. I promise I'm not trying to make your life harder or return to where we were. Now, this is the part that really drove it home to me that maybe she's the other woman. Maybe this guy has his life. He's with a family now, and this woman keeps knocking on his door, complicating things, and wanting the possible affair to continue. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're throwing me, because when I was listening to this song, I never had thought about the affair route. So I can totally see that. I think even someone you just love that you live with or spend your life with, you never want to make their life harder. That affair thing is really ringing in my head now. So I think that might be what's going on here. But I would agree there.
Now, as part of our homework for this show, we watched the video for Dido, White Flag. And yeah. I was looking for hints kind of in which direction she was going with this song and watching the video. As it turned out, the video was frankly dog shit, generic 2003 era music videos. The kind of shit you'd see on VH1 in the morning when you're making your oatmeal and just need something in the background. Now, in the video, they were kind of ships passing in the night almost. There was no intimation that there was any kind of relationship between these two people. They were just barely miss seeing each other or making eye contact for most of the video until the end, where there's the big reveal that he wants her as much as she wants him. So, the video did not leave too much, or not lead us to too many conclusions, sadly. It was just 3 minutes of my life that I will never have back. All right, and then we go into the chorus here, where she says, "I will go down with this ship, and I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be." Now, with these lyrics, she does not bring a resolution to my investigation here that I'm trying to figure out. I think this is more leaning along the lines of your hypothesis that she loves this man, and she is not going down without a fight. Anything you want to add to that?
No, yeah. I mean, I just kind of had the same thought. Well, I mean, in my mind, in life anyways, once you love someone, you always love them in some way, even if it turns to a hate or whatever. So I guess anyone you've had a connection with or a love with in your life, you always think, you know, maybe there's a chance that could always come back. And so to me, that's what I think when I read that she's just, you know, not giving up hope, maybe, even though she knows they're not going to be together, that maybe someday, you know.
Now, you touched on something there. When you are in love with somebody and you have that bond, you do, even if it's a clean split and you just decide you're going to go on your merry way, I mean, I think that person holds a piece of you forever, and you also have a piece of them. You don't come out of that unscathed, and as you know, you're a different person coming out than you were when you went in, under the best and worst of circumstances. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes.
And I think this is really a powerful line here. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be. I think she reflects that, you know, maybe you do move on, and maybe you find somebody else and you're happy, and maybe I was just a footnote in your life. However, you know, you will always be a significant part of mine, and I am not ashamed to let you know that. That's a heavy burden to live with.
Yes.
You know, I have had some people who have known me in my past who have kind of thrown this at me every so often. It is the kind of thing that concerns me, you know, frankly, but
borderline stalking kid fail, though.
You know, I can't rule that out, as my dog makes a special guest appearance. Unfortunately, it's raining outside as we record, so I cannot send my dog out right now. So I apologize if Hugo makes this place to be podcast debut here.
We're dog friendly here. We're dog friendly.
We absolutely are. You know, we have the water by the front door. Come on in. there's something to that. And oftentimes, especially in sort of the fandoms that I'm a part of, as anyone who knows me know, I'm heavy into the professional wrestling. I'm a middle-aged white guy who's heavy into the rap. You know, these things tend to attract a less than I'm trying to think of a sensitive way to say it, a less than attractive type of person who oftentimes does have stories of unrequited love. You know, they put their heart on the line, and maybe they're not going to find that person, or maybe they found the person and they slipped away. So I think a lot of our eventual listenership will be able to relate to this part in particular.
Well, yeah. When someone reaches out to you and I don't know, from your past, and they let you know a feeling they had for you maybe wasn't what you felt for them, it makes you feel, I mean, it makes me feel bad. You know, it makes me feel like, I don't know, even when you're in a relationship with someone, you may not even notice that, but maybe their feelings for you are just so much stronger. And so 20 years later, someone can tell you something and you're like, wow, I had no idea you felt that way. So that's kind of what, you know, something else I think when I read that.
Yeah, it sucks on either end. If you're the person reaching out and they don't feel the same, you know, technically that's nobody's fault. But there's still, you know, oftentimes that person can be villainized in your eyes if they don't feel the same way you do, which isn't fair, but it's human nature.
Yes.
And on the other end, if you have somebody who's just putting it all on the line to try to win you over, and if you don't feel that way, you know, that's heavy. It's hard to look that person in the eyes and say, I'm sorry, but I don't feel the way, you know, let's be friends. You know, that sucks. You know?
Nobody wants the friend zone.
Nobody. I mean, it's a real thing, unfortunately, but, yeah. You know, it's hard. All right. Moving on is the lyric that got me into this. I know I left too much mess and destruction to come back again, and I caused nothing but trouble. I understand if you can't talk to me again. This is where that affair theory of mine really kicked in. Either they broke up and she full-on burned the guy's house down, like old girl from TLC burned the shoes in the tub. Or she was the other woman. She was found out. And he decided a clean break was necessary to save his relationship. I could see it going either way from this point.
It's so different when I read this, actually, and it's probably just more, you know, based on my life and what I'm going through. But I think if you've ever been with someone that's really loved you in a way that maybe you didn't love them, and you knew that no matter what you did, they'd always forgive you, maybe. I don't know. It sounds kind of strange. But I know I feel like I was in that situation for a long time personally, where it just, you know, if you ever have someone that it just seems like no matter what you do, they're always going to love you. And then sometimes you might even feel uncomfortable about the things that you've done and knowing that they'll tolerate it anyways. So I don't know. That kind of struck to me when I read that. I don't, not sure everybody gets to experience that in their lifetime. But also the affair route, I do definitely think that now that you had brought that up at the beginning of the song, that wasn't what I was thinking originally when I was doing my notes. But
all right, fantastic. And then she ends that verse with, and if you live by the, it's kind of a poorly written line here, but, and if you live by the rules of it's over, then I'm sure that that makes sense. So essentially, she's saying, all right, this guy's going to, he says it's over, we're done. We're moving on, there's nothing to do here. And she's wanting to respect those wishes. But then she goes right back into the chorus of not going down with, or going down with the ship and not putting her hands up and surrendering again. So I think she's wanting to respect the boundary, but at the same time, standing over his damn window with a boombox over her head, like Say Anything.
Yeah.
Saying that, hey, look, damn it, I love you.
Yeah.
You cannot love me if you want to, but I'm going to keep letting you know till I've decided I've had enough, that I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, but I just think, you know, you have to, I mean, it just depends. I'm a heart protector. I feel like in general, some people, they want to lay it all out. And I envy people like that, actually, that have had their heart broken so many times and they just keep going back for more. I think that's a characteristic. That's not something I have, but I think that's, people that will, it can seem a little borderline stalker to me, but also, you know, you need to let someone know how you feel. So,
right. There's a fine line there because you know, the healthiest thing most likely is just to let it go.
Yeah.
Say, all right, I know what I'm worth. This person doesn't see what I'm worth. So fuck it. I'm going to move on and live my life and be happy and find somebody that does appreciate me. But then, you know, maybe there's a realization of, all right, this is the absolute best person I'm going to ever find, and I need to do whatever it takes to get that person back. You know, do you bang your head against the wall for all that time trying to win them back? And if it works, consider it time well spent. Or do you waste your whole life barking up the wrong tree and just having a loss at the end of it? Oh, there's a lot to explore there as far as relationships go. And there is no easy answer. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to that situation.
Yeah. Well, and women, not all women, I don't want to make assumptions, but last night my girlfriends and I were talking about this and how some of them really, when someone doesn't want them, nothing they want more is to make them want them, you know? And I think that happens to a lot of people. Kind of a strange deal, but I feel like, you know, it happens, and I see it a lot with my girlfriends. You know, that guy's not interested, I'm going to make him interested, and then someone that's like all in is interested, it's not fun, or it's too safe, or they're not interested in that sometimes. So it's interesting.
All right, Kelly has just tapped upon a fascinating part of women's psychology here.
You know, I'm gonna get bashed for that.
And again, not to make assumptions or go off, you know, all in, to steal a phrase that's way too popular in my friend group right now. But you know, this desire to be wanted. Again, it's not for everybody, and Kelly, I think it's not for you. But there are certainly people who have that mindset of, all right, well, he doesn't want me. What's wrong with me? I'm going to make him want me by any means necessary. And sort of the inverse of that oftentimes with men is, you know, nobody wants me until I'm attached to somebody. And then all of a sudden, they're coming out of the damn woodwork.
I've heard that.
Chris Rock had this great bit 20 years ago where, you know, he used to, once he got married, he had this bit where he'd get calls from randoms saying, hey, me and my girlfriend are having a BJ contest. You know, we wonder if you would judge, and how we'd never get that call when he was single. And now he gets it every Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, there's a psychology to that. It's a little deeper that I care to explore here.
Yes.
I'm just a simple podcast host trying to make my way in this world. I am not a psychotherapist. I am not here to diagnose the world's problems. I'm here to look at real life and the way people act. And that is something that some people do. Mm-hmm. And certainly does not apply to the fine women members of the Place to Be Nation, podcast host and otherwise.
Of course not.
We have some fantastic women voices in our ecosystem here. And we're going to move on before I bury myself any further.
Okay. I put you there. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Hey, that's why I'm here. I'm here for the banter. All right. And then she moves on to say, and when we meet, which I'm sure we will, all that was there will be there still. I don't know how small of a town that Dido lives in to where she's just certain she's going to run into this guy again.
Yeah.
You know, I live in a very small community here in Kentucky, and I will go months without seeing people I work with every day. I've seen two of my coworkers out in public in the last year. That's it. I'm pretty sure if I wanted to avoid an ex, I could artfully do that.
Yes.
But no, she's determined. They're going to encounter each other, and when they will, that the feelings will still be there.
It might be because she's following him, so that's creepy.
Maybe the state needs to intervene and say that she cannot. She can love him all she wants, but it needs to be from at least 51 feet away.
That could be it. Oh, that's awesome.
A quick sidebar here. In my line of work, which I won't get too much into, at a former employer in another state than the one I live in now, I'm trying to make this as vague as possible, one of my clients got to my facility that day, and about an hour after he arrives, I get a phone call from an outside number telling me that this person has called them four times in the last hour and that there should be no contact because of a court order. So I confront this gentleman with this information. Hey, bud, I got a call from so-and-so saying you're blowing up her spot. You know, what's going on? And this guy pulls out a court order dated 3 years ago. It says, no, this is good. I can call her as much as I want to. And that expiration was that day.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's terrifying. So I told him, look, man, you know, you're done with the phone for the day.
Wow.
If you want to call a lawyer or anything, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I will be on the line with you.
Oh, gosh. That's creepy.
Yeah.
Well, nothing more unattractive than somebody that is begging you or pleading. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's very unattractive. It doesn't help.
Yes, and that's the mistake I made in my high school years, because I grew up listening to sissy-ass Boys Demand R&B. It was just full of guys just begging these women to love them.
Yes.
So I thought that's how you went about it.
Yes.
And all this rejection now suddenly makes so much more sense now that I'm 36 years old and looking back.
You were listening to.
It was. I was influenced by Wanya Morris to an unhealthy degree. And I was not about that life.
Mm-mm.
All right. And she says here, all that was there will be there still. I'll let it pass and hold my tongue and make you think that I've moved on. So now we're getting to a stage where she's accepting the fact that this man will never be with her, and that she will hold her tongue for the sake of, I guess, having a civil relationship. You know, those awkward greetings with the ex at the fucking Target or wherever you may encounter this person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're there trying to buy your almond milk, and
yeah,
and they are there with their new love and baby clothes.
Yes,
and you can't ignore them, so you have to say hello. But you're dying inside. You just want to get the hell out of there.
Yeah,
I think we're at that moment now where she knows that she loves this man, but he doesn't love her back, so she has to move on.
Yes.
And then we close out with the chorus three more times, which we won't read that. So Kelly, to close out this section of our show, is it a love gone wrong, or is she in fact a homewrecker?
Now I feel like she's a homewrecker. I did not think that, but I really do. I mean, because I feel like anybody that you've had a long-term relationship for that was on the, or short-term, whatever. I haven't had very many short-term relationships in my life, so I don't know. But I can't hold my tongue, period. You know, so I mean, I think I would only do that with somebody that I felt like either got one up on me or really broke my heart, or, you know, just not to give them the satisfaction. And I don't know. Yeah, it does kind of seem a little bit of a homewrecker song. I did not expect to come to that conclusion today, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm voting for that. Yes.
See, and that's why we are here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. We are getting to the bottom of this shit. We are solving mysteries, 15 years in the making, and I'm here for it.
Yes.
All right. Obviously, I think she's a homewrecker.
I know, you swayed me, dang it.
But in watching the video, I did a little bit of research on this a couple weeks ago. Please bear with me if the facts are 100% straight. In this video, appears to be maybe in L.A., and she's signing autographs. And as she passes him on the street, he's also signing autographs, which makes me think, I believe her husband or boyfriend, whatever he may have been, was either a producer or an artist. He was somebody in the music industry. And in the video, they're both kind of living their lives in the public eye, while also longing for each other. The video kind of ends with her in her apartment looking at pictures of him, and then he is in his adjoining apartment, which of course they're going to run into each other if they live next door to each other. I mean, the judge needs to get involved in this quick before someone is murdered.
Yeah.
And this turns into an episode of Snapped. We can't have that. But he is also looking at a much creepier collage of her pictures that he may or may not have ripped out of Seventeen magazine or Tiger Beat.
Yeah.
Something right next to his Jonathan Taylor Thomas posters. Mm-hmm. It's purely speculation on my part.
Yes.
But yeah, in the end, these two people need to be together, and he just has to figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. That wraps up the discussion on the Dido White Flag. We will now move on to Kelly's pick this week, which is also from 2003.
I know, what a year, right? I didn't even realize that until recently when I was doing research.
It was a banger of a year. This was the third single from the album Fallen, and the song is My Immortal by Evanescence. Kelly, tell us why you chose this song.
Oh my gosh, I love this song. I feel like it just, for me, it's a song, was like a sad time in my life, going through relationship issues. And so it just always stuck with me. And I remember like laying in my bed, just listening to this song over and over, because I do that constantly with songs that I love. And I just always wondered, you know, what different parts of the song meant, or I knew what they meant to me when I was listening to them. But And even reading it today, I actually hadn't listened to it very much in a long time, but I have been in the last couple of weeks. And I think I might have had this song all wrong, honestly. But but we'll see, I guess. But also, you know, 20 years of life will give you, or, you know, whatever. I guess it hasn't been 20 years. 15 years later gives you some perspective. So I think that's part of it.
No, I think it's maybe funny is not the right word, but you said that you were laying in bed listening to this song back in 2003. This video, Amy Lee is lying down for the entirety of the damn song.
Yes. while, not a helpful video.
While children are playing in black and white, and I thought, oh, this is completely, I'm in my senior year of art school and I want people to think I'm deep.
Yes.
This was one of those kind of videos.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the song, the video could have been about the song. It could have been about perfume or rich people, ice cream bars. It could have been about any of those things. The video was not a tad bit helpful in helping us dissect this song.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right. So starting in with the lyrics, Miss Amy Lee, who I will go on record as saying probably has the sexiest voice of anybody I've ever heard sing a song on the FM radio.
I will second that.
Fantastic. I'm glad we're both on Team Amy.
She's awesome. Yes.
All right. She says, I'm so tired of being here, suppressed by all my childish fears. And if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave. Kelly, I'll let you lead us off here. What does that conjure up in your mind?
Well, I was going to first say, this is very odd that I would say it was during a breakup. I used to think this song was about someone dying. Like, I don't know why, but and in a way, I think that is sort of like when you lose a relationship. I mean, you know, you have a long-term relationship and it goes bad, or marriage or whatever. It is sort of, you know, like a death in your life in a different kind of, you know, in a way for me, that process is still kind of the same. I feel like that I went through with losing someone I loved in both ways. But so to me, it's just almost like exhaustion. You know, I'm just tired of this. And if you're going to leave, just leave. Like, I mean, that's just straightforward. It's like you can, I think going through something where you feel like the end is coming and the end is coming, it's just exhausting, and you get to the point where you're just, can't live in this anymore or whatever. And so, I mean, that's what that meant to me. I used to think it was sort of like someone had died and you still feel their presence, you know, and that's a struggle to live with too. And I don't know why I thought that, but that was just what I used to think about this song. So,
you know, that thought process has never entered my mind, but now that you say that, I don't think that's an unreasonable interpretation. Really reading through the lyrics here, there's a great sense of loss either way. Mm-hmm. Either someone not being your day-to-day life by choice, or something terrible happening and a death. I think this could go either way, and maybe with Amy Lee lying in the playground in black and white, you know, yeah, maybe that signifies the sadness of a death. I won't rule that out at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is just random, but I remember I had a friend one time that was going through a divorce, and we were young, I don't know, in our 20s. And she was like, I almost, you know, it would seem easier if he would just die. And I mean, it sounds mean, not like she really wanted him to die, but like the pain felt just that same significant to her. But yet he was still walking around and she couldn't talk to him really and be a part of his life. Almost like that was harder than actually a death in her mind or whatever. And I don't know why she said that to me, and it always stuck in my head. And this song makes me think of that too.
All right. My interpretation of this opening, mm-hmm. where she says, I'm so tired of being here, and then follows up with, and if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave. To me, that signifies initially a relationship that's falling apart. Mm-hmm. We've all been in those toxic situations where things are crumbling and you're still there, and you know you're not happy, but sometimes you don't know why. Sometimes you don't know that leaving is the answer. Sometimes you maybe feel like you don't want the guilt of being the one to initiate the break. And if they're so miserable, why don't they just get the hell out of here? You know, it kind of leaves it wide open at the beginning. But then she follows up with, because your presence still lingers here, and it won't leave me alone. Which transitions into, okay, now we've established that they've split. These people are no longer in each other's lives. But there's that stigma that I can't think of the right word I'm looking for. Ghost, almost. Mm-hmm. That does linger after a split. You know,
memories with somebody. I mean,
yes, once you've invested so much time and so much of yourself into a person, as we touched on with the last song, you know, you don't come out of that completely unscathed. There is a transition period in the best of times and the worst of times, you know, in that post-relationship period. you know, your presence does linger here and it won't leave me alone. Like, I need to move on. How do I move on, for lack of a better word?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No. I mean, I just think that's it. I mean, the memories you have with someone are always going to be, you know, they're always going to be there. So, I mean, you can do things. I think sometimes in life you can just get stopped dead in your tracks on something. You're like, oh, and you know, one time we did this together and it makes you think of that. And I do feel like for me in life, the further I get removed, I tend to see the good that was there with somebody. That's maybe not always a good thing, but I feel like it just, you know, the bad, the further I get away from something, I forget all the bad stuff that happened. And so, you know, I try to remember the good things that I had with somebody. And, but initially I think when you're in that, you know, initial part of the breakup, the memories are painful or they're hurtful and you don't want to be a part of that anymore. So.
You know, my outlook on this, and it's a strange source and people are going to make fun of me, but have at it. I credit Violent J, of all people, of ICP. He wrote a book around the same time as My Immortal came out. Yeah. He wrote a book where he talked about how they had this peak roughly 1999-ish. I know they had an album which hit number 4, which just sounds ridiculous now. But that was right after the post-Disney controversy and right after their spot got blown up, so to speak. And how he would run into people 5 years later. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's nice to meet you. We really liked you 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really fuck with you anymore, but yeah, we listened to you back then. And how he used to get upset about that. But then he looked at it differently as an, all right, you know, so what if they only spent one summer appreciating what I do? That's cool as hell that I was able to touch their lives for that period.
Yes.
And that's how I like to look at it. You know, everybody is not going to be around forever.
Yes.
But if I was able to make a positive impression on your life at some point and give you some value to your life, then I love that. You know, I'm happy with that. And I appreciate in turn the value you gave to me.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not going to work out. Everybody doesn't bring something good to the table. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you learn what not to do with your interaction with somebody. And I think that sometimes is even more valuable.
Well, time's not always an indicator of the intention someone has for you either. You know, I mean, you can meet someone and, you know, they could have different, better intentions for you than someone, you know, you've known a long time. And I find that odd, but I do think that happens in life sometimes too. So.
All right. We have now, these wounds won't seem to heal. This pain is just too real. There's just too much that time cannot erase. And I think that's riding a similar theme there of, you know, you're going to feel the pain. Sometimes, you know, some things just don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that person took a particularly chunky piece of you, for lack of a better word, then, you know, maybe you're just going to have to learn to adjust and reevaluate your personality and your standards of just the new you and what you are now.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I mean, it's just, and again, for me, it always comes down to, I think that initially it's very hard and you somehow with any painful thing in life, you learn to live with it and, you know, you hopefully come out stronger in the end. But when it's like, to me, a lot of this song is like, she's in the thick of that pain of whatever, you know, so it seems so much more dramatic, but I think years down the road, you can look back, even if it still hurts you, it's not as painful, hopefully.
Agreed. And then we go into, when you cried, I'd wipe away all of your tears. When you'd scream, I'd fight away all of your fears. And I held your hand through all of these years, but you still have all of me. Now, Kelly, what's your take on that segment there?
I love that part. I don't know why, but I mean, I think a lot of loving somebody is putting them first, you know? And I think, for me, especially when I was young, I probably did that. You know, I think we dive in when you're young. That's the beauty of it. You don't know about pain yet. And you're happy to maybe put someone first on a constant level and take care of them and, give them all of you. And then I think over time things happen or you realize you're not putting yourself first or whatever it may be for each person. But to me, I feel like that's, you know, when you love someone, those are things you want to do for them, whether it's, I mean, whatever, cook for them, do their laundry, rub their back, whatever. We all have different needs. So that's kind of how I see that.
Yeah. To me, this signifies a relationship where the balance was probably off.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know, she is saying that, look, I did all this for you. I gave and gave and gave. And now that you're not even around and you're not here to take, somehow you're still taking. You know, I've given so much of myself to you that I feel like there's something there I can't get back. You still have my essence, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been said, too, that we are all the heroes of our own story. Maybe the perception isn't reality here, but certainly in her mind, she feels like almost unfairly she gave and gave and gave and now has nothing to show for it, is my interpretation of that.
No, I would agree with that. And I think in all relationships, typically there is usually somebody that's maybe more in charge or maybe loved a little more. Maybe not loved a little more, but I do think you could see that in most couples, that there's someone that maybe has the, I don't know, the upper hand, if you will. And I think that's, you know, that's got to be hard to be the person that doesn't have that, I guess.
All right. Now she transitions into, you used to captivate me by your resonating light. Now I'm bound by the life you left behind. I think in my mind, that's probably the most powerful lyric there. You used to captivate me by your resonating light. Like you talked about when you're young and throwing all of yourself into a relationship. And no concept that, hey, maybe this won't fall, you know, maybe this won't fall apart. Maybe this is everything to me. And then when you lose that, now I'm bound by the life you left behind. You know, I loved you so much and I gave so much to you and now you're not here. And what am I left with? What's your take on that line?
Yeah, no, I kind of had the same thought there. I mean, but also too, I mean, you can, oddly, what can draw you to someone, I feel like, is also can be what annoys you about them down the line. Like, you know, you can be fascinated by something about somebody, and then in the end, it might be what you end up not loving about them. I don't know. But, I mean, that's something I have found in life too. But no, I'd agree. And I do think that's a powerful section of this song for sure.
Now, that is a great twist you just threw in there. Because that's real life right there.
Yeah.
You know, something that, it's great that, you know, you have your own life and you're always with your friends and you don't need to be dependent on me. And then after a couple of years, that may turn into, why do you never have attention for me? Why are you always out with your friends? You know, that's just one example of these things that can go awry sometimes in relationships. Mm-hmm. A plus isn't constant. A plus can turn into a minus. Sometimes over next to nothing, it can switch. And again, sometimes it's somebody's fault. It's just how relationships evolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people change. I mean, it's a fact of life. And you try. I mean, it's very hard. You hope, you know, my mom used to always tell me, you just hope that you grow together, whatever. And it just doesn't always happen. It's very hard. You can't be the same girl you were when you were 16, when you're 35. You shouldn't be. But right. I think sometimes, you know, that can be challenging if you're with the same person through that, you know, whole part of your life. It can definitely put a challenge out there. So,
and that is why I wanted to do this show with a man and a woman. To get both multiple perspectives of this, I am happy with the way this is going.
Good.
All right. She follows up with, your voice, it haunts my once pleasant dreams. Your voice, it chased away all the sanity in me. Good Lord.
Little dramatic. No, just kidding.
That was very Stevie Nicks of her there.
Don't be talking about Stevie Nicks.
Hey, and I will often invoke the name of Stevie Nicks as an excellent songwriter, a way of painting pictures with words.
Yes.
You know, this is so vivid. You know, I can't even get a good night's sleep without thinking of you. Your voice is, your face is chasing me. I can hear you when I'm trying to get away from you. And all I want is 10 damn minutes to myself where I'm not thinking about you. so I can start the healing process. Yes. Relationships go bad. That's why I think this is more relationship unless someone died.
Yes.
Even though obviously that is part of the mourning process as well. Yeah, I think this is about learning how to move on from a relationship.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, then we go back into some of the earlier lines or just repeating. Wounds don't seem to heal. Pain is just too real. All that again before we go into kind of her last cry out at the end of this song. And she does. She belts this shit out with all her heart. I've tried so hard to tell myself that you're gone. But though you're still with me, I've been alone all along. I think this is coming to the realization that that relationship is over, and although she felt like she was in a relationship, a great one at the time, she's been alone this entire time. She's been giving and giving and giving and not receiving. Pause.
Yeah.
I think that she is realizing now just how one-sided it was, and now it's time for her to move on with her life. Mm-hmm. How do you interpret this, Christian?
And I can see that. And then sometimes I think we're just selfish in our thoughts. Like, he probably wasn't that horrible. She just, you know, we see things about what everybody does to us. And it's like, he probably would have the same. I did this for you. I did that. But no, I think that living with someone and feeling alone is not a good feeling. And I feel like anyone that's ever been in that situation in life, I mean, sometimes it feels like being with someone's better than being alone, but actually in my experience of life, feeling alone and living with somebody is actually worse than just living alone. I mean, and I feel, but I mean, I think we're all kind of just think, I mean, it's hard and it's tough when you're used to being with somebody. So, it's sad to feel that way, but I mean, I think that a lot of people can relate to that. You know, you're here, but I'm alone. I don't feel like you're here. So that's very powerful, and that's definitely not healthy to be in that situation.
No, that theme of maybe feeling like you're better off with a toxic relationship rather than being alone, I think that's a great, poignant point you just made.
Yes.
Some people are terrified of being alone and not having someone there to love them.
Yes.
My first long-term serious relationship was back when I was 16 years old. Back when I had a full head of hair, and it was amazing.
What? No.
Right? But that girl had been in one relationship after another from the time she was 14 years old up until now. We're 36. She's just a few days older than I am. And throughout that whole time, like, I wonder about her. If she ever found the time to really grow and discover who she was as a person without the influence of someone else being right there. I think that figuring out yourself is invaluable. I think everybody needs that at some point in their lives.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think you're in, you know, this is a whole nother, we probably shouldn't even get into this. But I mean, I think women, you know, when I was little, I felt like it was like, you're going to grow up one day, you need to get married, you need to have babies. I mean, and it was different. And now I look at like my daughter and I feel like the world is just different. Like, I don't know that they necessarily are going to feel like, hey, I need to get married and have babies to not be valid or whatever. So, I mean, I think a lot of my friends that got married young and the ones that didn't work out, they just felt like that was what you did. I've dated this guy for 2 years. He's good enough. Let's go, you know? And a lot of them didn't work out, you know? So, I hope for my daughter that she goes through a period of selfishness when she's young and she discovers who she is before she tries to share her life with someone else. But I think, you know, I just think we fall in love and then you just think that's always going to be, and you don't think about yourself as much. And it's important. Your relationship with yourself is probably the most important, honestly. So.
Yeah. When my daughter was 9-ish years old, I heard her grandmother tell her, and I don't even know what the context was, but yeah, you need to make sure you marry a husband who can take care of you. I'm like, yeah, you don't want a slacker in your relationship. But I'm like, no. That's not what we're teaching her. You know, teaching her work hard, don't give up, and be able to support yourself. I don't want you to have to depend on someone else, either financially, it's English, or emotionally. I want you to be able to do your own thing and support yourself in life regardless.
Yes. And that's what we should be teaching our daughters. We're getting into my feminist kick. You don't want to get it. But yes, I 1,000,000% agree with that. So yes.
All right. Well, that just about wraps up this first episode of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. Kelly, if people are interested in following you in social media, do you want to give that information out?
Yeah, they can. I don't do a lot of music stuff on there. I'm really huge a sports fan, but on Twitter, it's Kelly. Well, no, it's KelJean17. Sorry, KelJean17 on Twitter. So.
All right, and you can follow me at Not Dr. Death, that's NotDrDeath on Twitter. You can also follow the show proper, has its own Twitter feed. That's PTBN_songs. And if you have any songs that you want to request that we do on the show, you know, the DM is open. Feel free to slide in there with your request. Maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. But I assure you we'll read every one of those. Now, this should hopefully be roughly a bi-weekly show here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, where we will now reveal what we will be doing on the next episode. So since I got to go first this week, Kelly will go first on the next episode. And Kelly, what song will we be doing?
I am going to, because, you know, you had to bring up Stevie Nicks, so I'm going to do a Fleetwood Mac song. I'm going to do Landslide.
Oh, hi, damn. That's a good pick.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time, so yes.
All right, and I will go the absurd route, and we will go with from 1987, the Mall Tour of America with Tiffany saying, "I think we're alone now."
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Now,
okay.
Now, before these music nerds jump in my damn mentions and tell me that so-and-so did this song in 1968, I know that. I don't care.
We're doing the Tiffany version on this show.
We're doing the Tiffany version because I think the fact that a probably underage redhead girl was singing this in malls across this great nation of ours changes the context immensely.
Yes.
So, yes, that will be the songs that we do next time. Kelly, do you have any closing thoughts here?
I don't know. It's just fun. My first time ever doing this, so I'm excited, but I think I survived.
I think
the next one.
I think you did very well. And I will close this out with the immortal words of Russell Simmons. Place to Be Nation, thanks for coming out. God bless you. Good night.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.